And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars! In this episode, I can't do that the entire time. In this episode, Savage and Maul, now reunited, pursue Obi-Wan Kenobi in a search of revenge, and the Jedi Knight finds himself forced to unite with a surprising ally to defend against the deadly siblings. There will be the end of the spider legs, Mother Talzin shenanigans, and Ventress and Obi-Wan team up for this season finale. We're talking about revenge this week. How you doing, Chris?
Another one-word title. I wonder what this one's going to be about, Hope.
I bet it's going to be about kittens.
Vengeful kittens.
Evil kittens. I saw a nice cat today. We took our pug to the vet, and they have a vet cat. And he's one of those cats that, like, he was a nibbler, but he, like, didn't bite. So, like, I would be petting him, and, like, he would, like, you know, nip my hand and then, like, pull it over to where he wanted to be petted.
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt. It was just like, oh, this cat has his mouth on my hand.
That's why he was a vet cat, though, because they must, you know, they can't pick up. They have to pick somebody friendly and mellow.
Yeah.
It's just like we have a theater that, well, they had for years, almost like as long as I can remember in Rochester, they had this one big fat cat that lived in the theater. And sometimes you'd be watching the movie and all of a sudden you'd feel something down at your feet. And if you gave him a little, like, scratch on the neck, sometimes he'd be like, oh, okay, and hop up on your lap and, like, you'd have a cat in your lap through the movie. And I don't know if it was a he or a she. But that cat died a couple years ago, and they finally got another cat that's like the same personality of cat. So they have a new younger cat roaming around the cinema now.
You know, I saw an article about how in this little town in Turkey, there is a cat that would like famously like lounge on a curb. And, like, to the point where he looked like a person when he lounged, like, elbow up on the curb and just, like, sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a beloved cat. And when he died a few years ago, they actually, like, made a little kitty statue of him where he always lounged.
Well, those sitting cats are usually really friendly cats, and they're usually smart cats, too. I had a friend, Chuck, who had a sitting cat, would sit right upright in their front yard like a kid, you know, just looking around. And another thing I've noticed is they're often the six-toed or seven-toed cats, you know, the cats with the extra toes.
Yeah.
They're often really friendly and sociable and will often sit, too. Don't know why. It might be some genetic thing in their body to where it's more comfortable, you know, it's more comfortable for them to sit or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got from vengeance to kitty cats, but that's how we do it here.
I said revengeful kittens. Though, just so you know, my pug's okay. We just took her in for a checkup.
That's good.
Well, like, she's a very old dog. She's like 15. And so she's had this thing lately where her back legs would just kind of sprawl out from under her suddenly. Like, she'll be standing and then just sprawl. And what made us take her today is, you know, pugs have the curled tail.
Uh-huh.
Her tail was uncurled all day. Like, she, no matter how happy she got, she never curled her tail today. So we took her in just to get her checked out, make sure there was no, like, spinal things. And we got to the vet, and she was, like, rubbing her and checking her reflexes and checking her hips and her tail and everything. And the vet looks at us and goes, here's your verdict. You have an old dog.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, it's very natural for their legs to give out like that, and it's called a fishing tail. It's just sometimes they just don't lift their tails. I was like, okay, cool. We just paid a lot of money for that. But Lucy the pug is okay, everybody. She's fine.
You can stop worrying now.
Yeah, not that anybody cared about my pug.
We're shifting down to from red alert to yellow alert.
Yeah, clown alert. Pugs are clowns. Oh, I'm also sad, too. Of course, this will come out several weeks after it happened, but I just found out one of my favorite podcasts is ending.
Which one?
It's Other Side of the Mirror. It was my first Once Upon a Time podcast, and it's my editors from What the Fangirl. And that's actually how we met, was through their show and how we became friends, and now I write for What the Fangirl, except for this month because it's NaNoWriMo. After six seasons, they're like, you know, we're not really into the show anymore. We've been putting aside other ventures because we're like, we must get this episode out and stuff like that. So they're just ending their Once Upon a Time podcast. And back when the show was good, their show was really good. But as the show just kind of went downhill, it just made it harder and harder.
Who wants to watch it anymore if it's not any good, you know, or turn your show into a gripe fest or something.
Pretty much. And they just, that's my second, I only really listened to two Once podcasts, and one was Greetings from Storybrooke, and they Bill and Anne-Marie ended it a few years ago, but some of their followers continued it, and Bill just puts it up on the feed. Like, they record and edit and everything, then they just send it to Bill, and Bill puts it up on the feed. So they ended it a few years ago, about a year and a half ago, and now.
That's why we're lucky doing shows that have already ended, and you know, we already know, we know it's not going to, this Clone Wars isn't going to crash and burn, you know, in the next season or something like that. And we also know what the first four seasons of Rebels are like, too, so.
Well, we don't know. For all we know, the second half of season four could be, like, crashing and burning.
That's true, but still, even if we get, like, where we drop Rebels, we can always just podcast up to where we drop. We'll still know, okay, well, we got 3 years of Rebels broadcasting ahead of us before we have to go to Ewoks, but I don't see how Rebels is going to drop to Ewoks level anyway, so I think we're going to be safe with that.
Or like, whatever. Next
well, actually, we only have down. To get through another half. Even if the last, this last half, right, this is the last season, right?
Of Rebels, yeah.
So even if this one totally crashes and burns, that's still only half a season that we got to get through. As opposed to if you're following an ongoing series and it jumps a shark, you don't know how, you know. People have pretty bad taste. It could still go. Walking Dead's been sort of shambling along two seasons after it stopped
shambling
being good.
Like a zombie?
Yes.
Zombie joke.
It still has huge, huge ratings. So, yeah.
Well, you ready to get into it?
I am.
All right. Revenge is the 88th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on March 16th, 2012. It was written by Katie Lucas and directed by Brian Callan O'Connell. And I just want to note something here. They gave a lot of episodes to Katie Lucas this season.
Yeah, they sure did, especially right towards the end of this season.
They gave her four episodes, which is almost a fifth of the season. And I was just like, wow.
Maybe she was writing them real fast and real good, and they were like, hey, let's stick with her, you know?
It probably helps that she's George Lucas' daughter.
I think.
Maybe just a little bit. But, that's not bad. Her episodes have been pretty solid.
I mean, that's definitely how she got to write episodes. But, like, here's the thing. It's not like, another Katie Lucas episode, you know. They seem to be working out, so.
Yeah. Yeah, like.
All right.
Like, pretty much. Like, she's pretty much has defined Asajj Ventress in, like, this season to last season. So, I mean, I gotta hand it to her. Like, she's doing good stuff. All right, some extra information for you. So there's one funny note when Asajj Ventress is looking at Savage's bounty in Mos Eisley. It lists that his crime is fleeing from the scene of a crime. So you just, you know, forget about the fact that he, like, murdered a Jedi temple and all the clones. And, like, you know, he showed up and he killed a Padawan, you know, two seasons ago. His bounty is he fleed from a scene of a crime. All right, Maul's cyborg form was first defined in illustrations by concept artist Aaron McBride, developed for a 2005 graphic novel, Star Wars Visionaries. And finally, the turtle tank spaceship they fly around in was inspired by Dave Filoni's pet turtle, Goji.
Ooh.
You know, I love that turtle ship. I mean, they had it last week, and we said last week we love it, and I still love it. It's great. Do you like turtles, Yoda?
I like turtles.
I like turtles. I haven't thought about that video in forever.
Now I just see Yoda with that same blank look on his face. I like turtles. Okay.
Well, let me guess. Turtles are too slow for you.
Yoda's in a hurry. Yoda has turtle head.
Have you ever seen any of the YouTube videos of turtles having sex?
I've seen turtles having sex.
They're so cute because they make those little sounds. They just go...
That's the one on YouTube. We had one at the zoo. We went to our own zoo here, and right before the gorilla, the monkey cages are the turtle tanks, and there was one turtle, and he was much larger than the other turtle. They may have been tortoises actually, but he had his neck fully extended and was just doing like a James Earl Jones. He was just like, ah, 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 and that was wildly amusing. And that's always, that stuff is always great at the zoo because there's always kids around. So you see whose parents are like, all right, we'll explain what's going on. The other turtle's hugging the one turtle, and no, he's not attacking her. You know, and the other parents are just like, come on, let's go see the monkeys. As if the monkeys are not going to be masturbating also. So, yeah.
That reminds me, like, we took a trip to Disney when I was very young. I was, like, maybe 6 or 7. And we didn't know it was Gay Week. And, of course, I didn't know what it was. So I just saw these guys just, like, holding hands. And my mom said that they were all cousins and brothers
and
family. They
didn't want to lose each other, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, I'm older now, so I get it. But...
it's lucky you didn't get it then, because then you would have been like, they're all incestuous.
Yeah.
You mean, it's Mom, like, why are you telling me they're cousins, but why are they dating then?
it's like the dub version of Sailor Moon all over again. That was a reference you don't get. So the characters of Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune are gay, and they're gay lovers, and they're dating. But in the American dubbed, it was so much of their relationship that they made them cousins. So they were just, you know, always holding hands and, like, have each other's arms around each other as cousins. It made it so much worse. Go American dubbing.
Cousins, huh?
This isn't Game of Thrones.
Well, Luke and Leia. Yoda's just saying. Just saying.
Yoda, if you could be any character in Game of Thrones, who would you be?
Oh, Jesus.
The dragon, so he can get rode on.
Yoda's going through Yoda's mental inventory of Game of Thrones nudity.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah, what for?
You know what, though? There's boobs everywhere. I've only seen one penis so far. I need to see more penises.
Hot smoke monster.
This isn't Lost.
Smoke monster comes from vajayjay.
I was drinking. All right, so what's the space platitude this week?
The enemy of my enemy is my friend in bed.
I like that one.
That's scary, though. If you think about some of the enemies of your enemies and being like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I'd want them to be my friend in bed.
Yeah.
My bed friend.
It's funny with the in bed, but it's another one of those of like, yeah, it works for the episode. It's cheesy as hell.
Would the word brend work as bed friend? Brend.
I thought you said bread.
It doesn't have a good flow to it.
I thought you said bread. Like I'm eating bread.
No, brend.
This is my bread. All right, you're
Brendifits. That's what it would be. Brendifits.
Bread with benefits?
Bread with benefits. Well,
it's called butter. You put some butter on that. Maybe some like cheese and garlic. Make some like cheese garlic toast. Oh, best. Or roast the tomatoes and ham on top. I don't know why I'm talking about food. I just ate. Act one, right?
Act one.
Yeah, this ain't eat it and beat it. All right, act one. So last week, Savage went on a quest to find his long-lost brother, Darth Maul. He found Maul on a trash planet where the ex-Sith Lord was a crazy person with mood swings and anger. He also had spider legs. Pretty much everyone who can sense disturbances in the Force from Dooku to Ventress to Obi-Wan to Yoda is like, yeah, something ain't right out there in the galaxy. Also, Maul wants to super kill Obi-Wan Kenobi. On to this week! Savage takes Maul back to Dathomir because Maul doesn't have all of his memories. Maul is acting like me when I fly in an airplane and he's just freaking out in the back of the ship. They land on Dathomir and Savage tries to get Maul off the ship, but Maul is muttering about Kenobi over and over again and Savage is like, whatever man, and leaves. He finds the remains of the Night Sister massacre from a few episodes ago. Green mist suddenly swirls around him and Talzin is like, sup bro? And Savage looks at all the dead bodies like, so I missed something here, didn't I? And Talzin's like, meh, shit happens. Let's go see your brother. And she uses a ball of light, and Maul becomes like a cat to a laser pointer and follows them back to the Night Sister base. She puts him asleep on a pillar thing and begins her work. She uses her magic to take apart his spider legs and build him new legs. Just two of them this time. She wakes up Maul and then vanishes from the spot, leaving him alone with Savage. With his memories back, Maul tests his new legs and he senses the Force is out of balance. He gets a lightsaber from Savage and Maul is ready to get some sweet revenge on some Jedi. What'd you think of Act 1?
Not bad. Nice black, red, and green color scheme.
I always like when they have those shots where, like, because, you know, Dathomir is very red, but you have, like, Savage on the ship with a white light and it just, like, cuts through the red. I like those shots. They're really cool.
I like the way they did it, but it's not how I expected they were gonna get. I thought she would just grow him new legs, you know, and that would have been cool. But it was, the special effects of the spider getting torn away and other things coming and reshaping themselves into his legs was really neat. But then he ended up basically with like a pair of General Grievous legs.
Yeah,
and it made me made me wonder a little bit where Grievy might have come from.
Came from his mama, Chris. His mama.
Oh, maybe the like eyes and lungs of Grievy did, but you know maybe Grievy at some point had gotten some treatment from the Night Sisters, you know, and that's why his legs and Maul's sort of have that same sort of swooping design to him.
Well, that's the thought,
and then given to the Jedi or the, you know, the Sith.
Well, Grievous wasn't very thankful because he killed them all a few episodes ago.
Right. Well, maybe he didn't remember, you know, or maybe he does have a grudge on him. I think if he did remember and had a grudge on him, he'd be like, "I'll destroy you, Knights." You know, he would have said something about it because he's Grievy. But
yeah,
that's just a sort of weak little conspiracy theory with this.
Though I have to say that scene reminded me. I didn't put in my notes, but it reminded me a lot of the current Darth Vader comic. Because there's a scene where Darth Vader, you know, he has to go, like, corrupt a lightsaber from a Jedi and stuff. So he finds, like, one of the few remaining Jedi. And the Jedi, like, pretty much kicks the crap out of him and rips his arms and legs off and, like, throws him off a mountain. Well, using only the Force and some broken robots nearby, Vader uses the Force to, like, create new arms and legs and puts it together with the Force. And it was awesome. It was such a good scene in the comics. Like, I could see it. And so, like, when I was watching this, I was like, this is what it would have looked like if that scene was in motion.
Yeah. And I think It's funny. It seems like Maul's force use is really weak at first, and I was thinking, maybe it's because he doesn't have half his body, so half of his midichlorians are gone, but we'll see in the next couple parts. My only other note is...
You know, on that note, that wouldn't probably be too far off, because I was reading... But I will say it was one of the non-canon books. It was not a canon book anymore, but it was one of the Clone Wars books after Anakin lost his arm.
Right.
And Obi-Wan was saying that, like, it took him time to learn how to get the Force through his fake arm again and control it because he lost that connection.
Yeah, and that's why Darth Vader can't do all the, like, you know, insane parkour jumping that Anakin could and stuff, you know, the sheer just, like, Force power that Anakin used to wield. You know, Darth Vader just can do a bunch of elegant things, but, you know, he's not going to fling himself through the air like Anakin used to.
Meanwhile, Kanan's blind and, like, jumping on, like, walkers and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, but being blind, that's just an eye injury. It's like, I'm thinking, like, when your physical body parts are gone... And you got midichlorians, and the midichlorians are in your blood. You have less blood in your body because you have less body. You have less veins. You know, your body's only pumping enough blood for everything else. So, hence, less midichlorians. You know, if that's the if we want to keep by putting any credence into midichlorians,
I could see that.
My only other note is I guess my only important note from this is. Mother Talzin doesn't give anybody anything. She's just like, well, see you, Ventress. Go start your life. And these guys, she's like, well, here's some legs. I'm going to piss off now.
She's, yeah.
She doesn't go get revenge on Dooku or so. You know, she doesn't send him off on a mission. She doesn't say, you two should go back to your brother's village and help them out or train them to get your revenge. She just sort of says, here's your legs and your memories back. And you would think Maul and Savage might be a little bit pissed off at Mother Talzin anyway.
Yeah, well, actually, I was thinking about that because, like, last week, there was a short moment where Savage thought Mother Talzin had betrayed him. And he was mad. And he was upset. He was, like, throwing dead bodies around. But now he's just like, hey, Mother Talzin. She's just like, hey, what's up? And it's, like, fine now.
Yeah. So, it's a little inconsistent with that stuff. With that stuff. And it's... And it's weird. It gives the only reason for them to go back is, like, here's how Darth Maul gets his legs back.
You know, Mother Talzin. You know, Mother Talzin seems like this, like, big kind of force character, but she always just, like, pops in and out. Like, she's becoming more of a plot device opposed to, like, I am this. It's not like the Bindu, who's a big force character, and or anything like that. I mean, she's just a plot device now.
Correct, but she did say something that was what we were sort of talking about before, why she wasn't so concerned. She's just like, you know, they came in and killed, you know, wiped us out, but we're working on coming back, you know.
I had that exact same note, and also my note, I wrote, Chris, you were right.
Yeah, I'm never sick of hearing that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've been saying for several weeks now that Talzin seems to know that there's a bigger picture, and the massacre isn't a big deal because she knows that the Night Sisters will be back one day.
I'm gonna have more on that. I'm gonna have more on the bigger picture later on too.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna say again in my notes it says, Chris, you were right.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I was. I claim it for both of us though, because we were both talking about it.
You came up with it first, though. You can claim it for yourself. You claim it all for yourself, hon.
Okay.
Okay, you take it.
Thought I'd
take
it
and run with it.
Be nice about it, you know. But that's all I got for part one.
I have a couple silly notes and some funny notes. I do like that they brought us back to the massacre, which led into my Talzin note. But I just want to note that because I like when they connect, like, those episodes. It wasn't like this thing happened and then, like, we would never touch on again. Like, Savage came back and he was just like, whoa, something happened while I was gone. Some shit went down here. but to my actual notes. I bet Savage put on some really good music to drown out Maul screaming in the back of his ship for that entire ride.
I know, they should have had him with headphones on, just like... rolling like, his eyes.
Like screaming metal. What I call Cookie Monster metal.
Yes.
Cookies. All the cookies in the world. Cookie.
Someone like him is either going to listen to that or like the most calming classical music ever.
Yeah. And it kind of reminded me of when I was younger, we went to go visit my in-laws up in North Carolina, or my relatives up in North Carolina, and my sister got like really attached to this kitten that they had. And so we drove back with the kitten, and that thing screamed in our car for 3 fucking hours. It just would not shut up, and we were like blaring
music. Like a
music.
Cookie Monster?
No, it was more just like, meow, meow, meow,
yeah.
Meow. Like, for 3 hours. And, like, we were, like, blaring music, which probably didn't help the cat's fear.
No, it was, yeah, no.
But after, like, the first 30 minutes, we were like, nope! And it screamed for 3 fucking hours, and I remember that.
Was it walking all over the car, too? Just like, whoa.
No, it was in a cat carrier.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we had a cat carrier, but it was a loud-ass motherfucker. Name was Wonka. It was my sister's cat. It was probably the only cat I've never actually liked because he was scared of me and he was kind of a trash cat. He got obnoxiously fat. And then he was always my sister's cat, and like he was still around after my sister moved out because she was just like, well, I'm allergic to cats now. I don't really want it. So we got stuck with my sister's cat. And one day I came back from college and he was gone. And I was just like, oh, well, bye. I don't know what happened to him, but he was gone.
Hey.
Yeah, but the only cat I never really liked. Anyway,
And it just happened to disappear. Okay.
He was, like, morbidly obese, too. Like, this was, like, much later in his older years when he vanished.
Well, so you're saying he didn't run away.
No, this cat was, like, morbidly obese.
Kind of waddled, maybe he just sort of waddled away, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure my parents probably took him to a shelter. Pretty sure. So my next note is, I just like how everyone loves Obi-Wan. Like, Ventress flirts with
him.
That
should be a sitcom.
Everyone loves Obi-Wan. Yeah! Insert a laugh track here. Okay. And Ventress flirts with him, and Hondo thinks that they're best friends, and now Maul has an unhealthy obsession about his death. So Satine's probably going to have to fight off some suitors for her man.
Oh, yeah. Now that Ventress is... Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I also had another silly note of, you know, if Mother Talzin wasn't all about Night Sister magic, she'd make a great mechanic.
Yeah, she would. And it would be great. People would be lining up to go to that garage. I'd want to watch Sure Fix My Car all day. That would be amazing. It'd be like a Spielberg movie every day.
Yeah, and like, it was so fast, she did it in like less than a minute.
Yeah.
Fixed your car in less than a minute. Though it is
lot of people knew she was a blacksmith before she was a night sister.
That was kind of unnerving, like, when it started bubbling and, like, the molten stuff kind of, like, sealed over everything and Maul was just screaming.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, when you have molten metal, like, attached to your body like that, actually your flesh should probably be, like, busting out in flames. But it was magic, so, you know.
Yeah.
Gets a lot of slack, so.
Now, my actually, only other serious note, because my other note was, serious note was Chris was right, I like the scene where Maul sensed that the Force was out of balance, and then Savage was like, well, we're in the middle of the Clone Wars right now. And then Maul says that the Clone Wars began without him, meaning he knew about that the Clone Wars were coming with Palpatine in Episode 1, and he knew that Palpatine...
Sure. I'm sure, well, I mean, A...
Yeah, but the thing is, like, they never stated it. So I thought that was a really nice tie into Episode 1 because, I mean, they never said it. It's not like Palpatine.
They might have, you know, I could see Palpatine saying, oh, there's great war coming. But at the same time, if the Jedi are going to fall and the Sith are going to rise, there's going to be a war, you know? So he knew there was some sort of conflict coming. That was what he was there for, to fight in it, so...
Well, the thing is that, like, he didn't know it was going to be specifically called the Clone Wars, but when Savage said, it's the Clone Wars, he knew exactly what it was, so I was just like, wow, like, I think he was specifically... Because we also know that, like, tiny thing from, like, next season, is they found out that the Clone Army was being made, like, years before, like prequel era, this army was being made. And so it makes sense that in episode one, Maul, being a Sith Lord, would have known that there were clones being made. Because, you know, he was working with Palpatine. I just thought that was a really cool tie-in to episode one.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's vague enough to where he may know, you know, he may know that it was going to be a clone war, or that he's just like, oh, the clone wars were starting, and he just assumes, well, that's the name of the war, you know, that they were going to have. So,
yeah.
But either way, it works. Yeah, it's neat, and you could tell he's a little disappointed that he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Although he helped kick it off, so it's not like he missed out totally.
A little bit, yeah. Kicked off his legs and they went the other way down the elevator shaft.
Yeah. Well, he took out Qui-Gon.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm laughing.
Qui-Gon would have probably been a really good big ally in the Clone Wars, you know. Think of if you had you know, R2, Anakin, Padme, Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon all kicking around during the Clone Wars, you know, it would be a lot more ass-kicking going on.
And Ahsoka and Rex,
yes. I was thinking more of movie characters, though, you know.
Oh, okay. That's fine. We don't count C-3PO.
Oh. Well, whatever.
He's not kicking ass.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can count C-3PO, but, you know, I could also, then I could count, like, Chewie or whatever, but, you know, I mean, if I'm going to put a robot in, it's going to be R2. R2 does more than almost anybody else in all of Star Wars, so.
We already know that R2 is the greatest hero of Star Wars, but that's all I had for Act 1.
Ooh.
Ready for Act 2?
Yeah, Act 2, I don't have a lot of notes for, but my notes are all have a little more. Well, no, they don't. Never mind.
Yeah, Act 2 is short because
I'm not going to make any good predictions this one that I get to gloat about two episodes later.
Yeah, like Act 2 was really short because Act 1 was like over 10 minutes and Act 3 was about like 9 minutes. And so Act 2 was
Act
only
2
like...
is just this little blurb in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like 4 minutes long, so. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Act 2. Maul and Savage head for the nearby planet of Raydonia. The inhabitants of the village think it's a supply ship, and all the little children go running for the ship. And Savage is like, so why are we staring at a bunch of kids? I don't like kids. And Maul goes, oh good, because we're about to kill them all. Back on Coruscant at the Jedi Temple, Maul sends Kenobi a demand to come out there alone, and then he kills a bunch of people in Kenobi's name. Obi-Wan wants to go alone, and Wet Blanket Windu is like, you're crazy! We're sending, like, a battalion with you. But Obi-Wan wants to face Maul alone, and Yoda agrees that against his better judgment. Yoda believes that Obi-Wan should finish what he started. Wet Blanket really thinks that Obi-Wan should have some help, and Yoda senses that Obi-Wan might have an unexpected ally to aid him. In a bar on Mos Eisley, a bunch of bounty hunters are going through warrants. When Savage's warrant pops up for 1,000,000 credits, Ventress is like, that one is mine! I made him! He's mine! And Asajj Ventress gets the information and moseys out of the bar. What'd you think of Act 2?
Short.
Very short.
I have two like light notes. The first one is, well, Wet Blanket's got a wet blanket. Out he comes. What's the only thing he does this episode? Wet blanket all over their idea.
Womp.
And my other light note is, man, there's some carnage even in Clone Wars. At least they only just implied the death of the kids, but that was pretty clear what was going to happen. And and then he's just chopping down, like, you know,
five people at once.
A lot of them women standing there, like, menaces them and then just chops them down for the Jedi to see. That's pretty savage. But
I actually like the guy in Mos Eisley is like, who's savage oppressed? That's what the bounty hunter in the bar said.
I like that, but that's probably what people reading Wikipedia were saying too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's my one big note for this one. Remember how we were just talking about Mother Talzin seeing the big picture? Here's more proof to my theory that Yoda knows the big picture and is not letting on to anybody, but he sort of lets on here that he's like, when they're like, what are you, crazy? Why wouldn't we send more people? Which is really, why wouldn't they send more people? What does it matter if Obi-Wan, you know, Obi-Wan's like responsibility to face Savage or Maul, you know, alone, you know, two of them alone, and possibly like get himself killed and take a good chunk of the Jedi power away, you know? It's like, no, you would send, who's gonna be like, oh no, this isn't fair, the Jedi sent too many people after Savage, and there's no reason not to. And Yoda totally says, no, I'm with Obi-Wan on this one, because he knows what's going to happen. I mean, he tips his hand and says, oh, maybe he'll have some help in bed. And I was just like, yep, Yoda knows everything. And Yoda knows there's some horrible shit that he's got to let happen, you know, by episode 3. But at the same time, this one, he's just like, if I don't tell them that I know something's up, then they're, you know, I'm going to get overridden on this one, or I'm going to have to fucking argue with this wet blanket forever. so he sort of lets it slip. But I see you, Yoda. I see you.
I see you, too.
Oh, he sees everything. Yeah, so.
In bed.
He's like Santa Claus. Yoda is the Santa Claus of Star Wars.
I know you hate this. Is he the elf on the shelf of Star Wars?
Hate the elf on the shelf. Child abuse.
Me too. I hate those fuckers.
I figured out one of the reasons I hate it. It's you're turning your child's imagination against them. You sort of are a little bit with Santa Claus, but Santa Claus is sort of removed from them. The elf is a visible threat in your house, watching you, and passive-aggressive extension of your parents trying to keep your yap shut for the holidays, which, hey, I have sympathy, but you're teaching your kids to mistrust use their imagination to squelch themselves. I don't like it. No, I sir, don't I don't like it.
But I just don't like dolls that stare at you.
I don't like that either. I don't like anything about it. Nothing about it.
Well, I just have two big notes, one little note. One is, I actually kind of like that Windu is doubting that Maul is actually Maul, which makes sense, because Maul's been presumed dead for like 10 years or something.
And it cut him in half, and then he fell down a bottomless pit.
Yeah, and so
it's like I chopped him up and burned him, you know? It's almost to that level.
Yeah, and like we know that there's other red Dathomir men. We saw them, you know, last season during the Hunger Games and everything. But I do like that they raised up that thing. They're like not automatically assuming like, yes, this is Darth Maul. Like Windu's like, it might be him. I don't know. So I like that they had that little bit of doubt, which we saw again next act. So one thing I just have to point out, because it was such a quick little snippet, but there was some really, really, really amazing animation on Obi-Wan's part. And I have to tip my hats to the animators. Because when Obi-Wan is watching Maul's message, just watch Obi-Wan in the background, because he goes through a slew of emotions in that scene. Because at first, he looks really angry. And then when Maul turns towards the people, you see Obi-Wan look very scared. And like there's deep fear in him. And then when the civilians died, he looks so sad. Like his fist is like up to his mouth. And like his eyes look like they're about to water. And he looks so sad. And it's about 3 to 5 seconds worth of animation.
Yep. Yeah, it just goes really, by real really, fast.
It's so beautiful, and it showed so much about Obi-Wan in that one moment without him saying a single thing.
Yeah, and his guilt. Instant guilt that he doesn't really deserve at all, because he did chop him in half.
Yeah, and so, like, it's that's just such a beautiful scene of animation there. And, you know, I was thinking, Obi-Wan would probably be one of the top candidates that I could see that should probably go to the dark side. Because he goes through a lot of shit in Star Wars. I mean, he lost his master brutally. He has to raise Anakin, which is crazy. He loses Anakin. Stuff happens with him and Satine. Then he goes and he lives on a desert for like 20 years. Like, Obi-Wan goes through a lot of shit.
I think it's harder if you get to the point where you're like Obi-Wan or Qui-Gon and you don't already have a little bit of, like, dark side in you or just, like, nastiness in you, like, say, Krell or something. By the time you're, you know, Obi-Wan's probably 10 years Anakin Sr., he's already had that much more Jedi training and that much more time for any negative aspects of him to come out to be the weakness to turn him to a Sith. Although I imagine almost anybody under the right circumstances could be turned to the dark side.
Yeah.
It would be possible. But, like, what happens if Yoda goes senile?
Where is Yoda's wig?
But he loses all his friends. His clones, Cody, who's been his friend for years, turns on it. Like,
see, by the time that stuff's happening to him, I think he's old enough to where it's not going to twist him. Like with Anakin, who was twisted before he even started in the Jedi, and then, you know, before when he was, and when Anakin was Obi-Wan's age, when Obi-Wan met him in Episode 1, that's when he lost his mother and started killing sand people and stuff like that. So, like, Anakin was almost tainted, you know, from the beginning. And he started his Jedi training a little late, too. So, you know, I don't know. Obi-Wan would have been, like, if he turned to the dark side, he would have been more trouble probably than Darth Vader, even though Anakin was, like, the powerful chosen one or something, because Obi-Wan would have been less, you know, I mean, he would have been like his analog as a Jedi, where he keeps his wits about him a little more than Anakin, you know?
Yeah.
He would have been more like Darth Vader mixed with, what's his name? Blue guy there, Admiral Thrawn.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, with more of a sense of humor, too. I'm sure he would have retained his sense of humor. It just would have gotten darker.
Yeah. No, I started thinking, who are your top three favorite Jedi?
Me?
Oh. Yeah.
It'd have to be Obi-Wan, Luke, and probably Qui-Gon. Or maybe Yoda. Not Yoda. Obi-Wan, Luke, and Yoda.
Mine are probably Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, and Kanan. Probably those three, because, you know, Ahsoka just means so much to me. Obi-Wan is just such a constant force throughout everything that we have, minus the new stuff. And Kanan, I just love. I think he's just such an interesting character. He's an interesting kind of Jedi. He clearly loves Hera, and he's that cowboy Jedi, and he has to kind of relearn how to be a Jedi, and he's a different kind of Jedi, and I think he's just a really interesting character.
Well, Kanan and Ahsoka would probably be like 4 and 5 on my list, with Qui-Gon being 6.
Yeah, I don't. Who would be probably 4 and 5 on my list? I don't know. I kind of. Maybe it's fandom stuff, but I really have a soft spot for Plo Koon. I think he's awesome. But I love a lot of the fandom.
That was going to be one of them.
I have a lot of, like, there's a lot of fandom stuff with, like, him and Commander Wolf, and, like, them being, like, joking around, and, like, Wolf being super serious, and, like, Plo is trying to get him to, like, laugh and, like, tell, like, terrible jokes and stuff. I kind of tentatively want to say possibly Rey, but I you know, with the new movie right around the corner, I just don't know enough about it, so I'm gonna hold off and say, because I also really like Luminara a lot.
Oh, just on the new movie? Well, actually, the new movie's out, so nobody cares anymore. I was gonna warn people, there's a thing leaked first 2 minutes of Last Jedi going around.
I don't want to see it.
It's fake.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't been confirmed fake, but I watched it and I'm like, that is fake.
Yeah, but
it's not real. And if it was real, it spoils absolutely nothing, because it's just the opening crawl and then a shot from the trailer. And the opening crawl is basically a summation of the last 10 minutes of the last movie. So it's fake.
Yeah, though they did just leak some of Avengers Infinity War today. It got leaked. So I watched a little of that.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I'll go watch a little bit of that.
Yeah, but I'd have to maybe... I know Luminara's up there. I don't know if she'd be in my top five, but I really like Luminara a lot. But yeah. Anyway, I have one other note. So one thing I just absolutely always love about Clone Wars is just all those kind of like through stories. And this episode is kind of like the episode of like dangling threads and trying to fix them. Because Ventress is definitely the one that would be going after Savage because she made him. And she pretty much created him to be this way. And so that's a loose thread for her. And Maul is a loose thread for Obi-Wan. And so I always like these kind of like stories because this is the story that connects episode one with Maul all the way through original trilogy timeline to Rebels. It's these kind of stories. So I like these kind of things because they kind of reinforce like why Clone Wars is so important. Because like while these are loose threads for these two characters, these are also threads that are connecting the prequels to the original trilogies.
I agree. I'm sorry. I was being really bad in Google searching Infinity Wars leaked footage.
Oh, that's fine. Do you remember when Last Jedi came out and I kept looking at Twitter, the trailer?
So yes.
It's fine. We all have our moments of Googling. But that's all I have for Act 2.
All right. You ready to buckle this sucker up?
Actually, this is
where most of my notes are in Part 3 here.
Actually, I just want to say one thing about all the Avengers stuff that's coming out. They released a Vanity Fair article today, which was actually a really, really good article. Because it was talking about the last 10 years of like the Marvel franchise, because next year is their 10-year anniversary. But Kevin Feige said that they have 20 more movies in the works planned.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all.
And my thing is I keep banking on a thing that I'm pretty sure most of the original Avengers cast isn't going to make it through Infinity Wars.
No.
Because most of their contracts are up.
Yeah, they're going to have to recast. It's just if they're gonna span decades, they're gonna have to regularly recast. And I'm sure they've thought about that, and I'm sure they figured out how they're gonna do it.
And that's what I was gonna say. Like they could easily do something like a Secret Wars scenario where they bring in like other universes. And I'm talking about the 2014 Secret Wars, not the original, because in the 2014 Secret Wars. They brought together, like, the Ultimates universe, the Old Man Logan universe, like all these universes came together in one. And so they could easily have this thing where, like, oh, man, we found Captain America from another universe. You want to come be this universe's Captain America?
I don't even think they'll do that. I think they'll just, for some people, like Captain America, there's precedent that, like, you know, somebody else can wear the costume. Same with Iron Man. There's precedent for that. And, like, people like Thor, who shouldn't be aging anyway, just recast him. They'll just recast him and be like, yeah, we got to have a new Thor. This guy's contract's up and he's 50 years old, you know. And they'll just do it, you know.
I don't think they would do that.
What's his name? Tony Stark's friend.
Oh, yeah, and they did it with Fandral, too, because yeah. Josh Dallas was the first and the better Fandral. But
and
I'm
they
also
did it with the Hulk.
I'm also not a big fan of Zach Levy, or Levi, whatever
his name is. They've already done it with a main character, with the Hulk. They're on their second actor playing the Hulk.
But I also can't, like, I really do think that they're going to pull some sort of, like, event where they're like, oh, we found these people from another universe.
I think they might do that, like, once with somebody. But I don't think they would feel that they could get away with just like, all right, here's how we're gonna replace a bunch of these dead people here. They'll use different methods of either having somebody else be take over that person's position in the cinema world, or they'll have just a real actor come in and play the role again, you know, as the same age, just to, you know. Yeah, sort of what you have to do.
No, I just can't wait for Infinity War. I can't wait for Black Panther, actually.
Black Panther is the one I'm really looking forward to.
Infinity Wars, the
Avengers movies, I don't really look forward to them until they come out, and then like I'm usually pleasantly surprised. But Black Panther looks like one that's going to be a lot of fun for me. So,
well, one, my Queen Lupita is in it. Two, did I tell you the joke about the movie poster?
No.
So the only two white guys on the movie poster is Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis, which means they're the Tolkien white guys.
Oh.
Because it's Bilbo and Gollum.
I think I've seen that. Yes, I've seen that meme.
They're the Tolkien white guys. I love that joke. I've told that to, like, everybody. All right, act three.
All right, good work, Hope. Now you told a bunch more people.
Yeah.
Spreading it around real good.
You guys better be laughing in your cars.
Ha ha ha.
She's laughing in his car right now, or while he's walking or something. So, I hope so. All right, act three.
Act three.
Obi-Wan arrives at the destroyed village on Radonia. He creeps through the bodies in the burning buildings looking for his adversary. Maul appears on a building like, "Roar! Hey, I'm here to kill you!" And Obi-Wan is like, "I'm sorry, but who are you again?" And Maul is like, "What? You don't remember when I stabbed Qui-Gon Jinn? And you were all like, 'No!' And I was all like, 'Ha ha ha ha!' And then you cut me in half. And then I fell down a trash chute, and I clung onto a vent, and somehow I survived through hate and malice until I went mad on a trash planet." And Obi-Wan was like, "I just had to make sure it was you. Hey there, Maul. You're looking extra evil today." And Savage pops up out of nowhere yelling, "You look extra dead today. Let's kung fu fight." And Maul and Savage team up on Obi-Wan and pretty easily knock him out. But Yas Queen Ventress drops out of hyperspace and lands on the planet and heads for their ship. Meanwhile, Maul and Savage are having fun tossing Obi-Wan around because season 4 is the season where Obi-Wan gets the shit beaten out of him constantly. Getting punched in the face, Obi-Wan quips that he should have aimed for Maul's neck all those years ago. Maul sends Savage out of the room to be alone with Obi-Wan. Savage goes to the engine room and the ship takes off as Ventress really awesomely parkours her way inside. Before Maul can start torturing Obi-Wan to death, Ventress comes out of the darkness like, "Hey, look at my former puppet. Still a monster. And your friend is half the man you are. You guys are just losers from the Night Brothers clan." She slinks back into the darkness. She makes it look like she left the room, and Savage and Maul follow out nothing. Alone, Ventress goes to Obi-Wan and they flirt banter just like the good old days of season 1. Maul and Savage come back and Ventress loans one of her lightsabers to Obi-Wan. The fight is on with Obi-Wan and Ventress versus Maul and Savage. Ventress isn't faring quite as well as she did the last time she faced Savage at the Dathomir Hunger Games, but Obi-Wan gets his lightsaber back from Maul and tosses Ventress back her blade. Obi-Wan gets Maul up on the balcony to fight. Maul taunts him with Qui-Gon's death, and Obi-Wan lets the Anakin rage come out of him. This season, we've had Beast Mode Ahsoka and Anakin, and now we're getting Beast Mode Kenobi! But Maul kicks him back because rage doesn't look good on Obi-Wan. He's a Jedi, not a Sith, and he can't handle rage. And he gets kicked back down to Ventress. They know that they're outmatched and make a run for the cockpit. Ventress barely gets the door closed before the brothers start cutting through it. And Ventress is like, "Get this thing moving!" And Obi-Wan is like, "Patience is a virtue." "Not right now, it isn't," she screams back. That's a Mummy reference. He manages to disengage the cockpit, leaving the brothers behind. Obi-Wan and Ventress knows that this is just the beginning. And Maul decides it's time to be patient. He's counting on the Jedi coming after them. The end.
All right. I got a lot of notes. I think Ventress's face is getting less, like, veiny and... They're making her a little more pretty so she and Obi-Wan can more viably make out.
She has less of the Sith Lord veins and more of the normal people face.
I was expecting Obi-Wan when he jumped up in that doorway to be like, "I've got the high ground." which would have been funny because it would have been like as soon as he jumped up in that doorway, it was basically he was in the same position with Anakin when he chopped off Anakin's legs. So, I really liked the shot of the planet that was backlit red and just had the tiny, tiny little red glowing outline of it. It looked really nice. And let's see.
I wonder if it's the system, because I was reading about Radonia online, and this planet's like next door to Dathomir. Like, they're like neighbor planets. So maybe it's like their sun, and that's what gives them that kind of red hue.
But once Obi-Wan and Ventress start in on these two, they forget totally where would they should be, like, radioing or heading back to the planet to help the ravaged people that these guys just tore up.
I'm pretty sure they're all dead.
All right, I only have one other big note, and that's, like, what the hell is Mother Talzin thinking? She just sent out Savage and Maul, and she just sent out Ventress, and they're fighting each other. What is the purpose of this? They're all, like, they're at odds with each other. They should both be, like, serving some sort of Night Sisters ends, you would think, but, you know, so... I don't know, but Mother Talzin knows all, so it's just a strange dynamic they've got going there, you know?
We know.
With the two elements from the one planet being completely at odds with each other.
I kind of fall back on my plot point note again, where I feel like if they had some grand plan for Mother Talzin, it's kind of gone.
They haven't figured it out yet. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, I know the end of the season, and I know the rest of Ventress's story. And so there's always, like, a part of me of, like, I always feel like there was supposed to be more for Mother Talzin, but they never got to do it.
Yeah.
Because we know on Son of Dathomir, the actual comic. By the way, nice shout out to Son of Dathomir in Act 1. Mother Talzin dies in that. And so I think maybe she does have this grand scheme plan, but she never got to do it. So I don't know. It's just, I feel like maybe at this point, because we got to always keep in mind, they were planning on doing Clone Wars for at least 8 seasons, and they only got to 6. So there could have probably been some bigger scheme to Mother Talzin that we just never got to see. But, like, I don't know. I also kind of, like, she kind of reminds me of Lost, the show Lost, where every time she's here, she raises more questions, but we never get answers.
But you never get any resolution on it, yeah.
And I feel like she's one of the few times in Star Wars where we don't have answers for shit. And she's that person. So I feel like she's like Yoda. I totally agree with you. I feel like she's like Yoda. She has this grand, huge view of things. She can totally see all aspects of the Force. But we never, every time she's here, she just raises more questions, but we never got the satisfying answer to them. And so, on one hand, I like her character. I think she's a fun kind of wild card, especially against characters like Dooku, because we've seen what she can do to Dooku. But at the same time, she's an incredibly frustrating character, because she's always raising all these questions that we never get answers to.
Yeah.
That's all I have. For about her, at least.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, that's all the notes I have on this part.
I have a lot of questions and some other stuff, too. When my first note was, my God, when Maul and Obi-Wan finally meet again for the first time, Maul just monologues for, like, a minute.
Well, yeah, he's doing his bad guy rant. He's enjoying his revenge, finally.
But oh my God, if I was like Obi-Wan, I'd just be like, can we hurry this along?
No, he's been rehearsing it for weeks.
The poor Savage had to, like, listen to it. He's like,
he's already heard it 10,000 times as they rehearsed it in the ship.
The okay, Savage is just like,
you pretend to be Obi-Wan. I'm going to tell you off.
Okay. You got to put more growl in your throat, brother. More growl. Oh, okay. Or maybe I should stand in front of fire.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out where he was going to be standing and everything. Oh, sure.
Obi-Wan's going to be here any minute. Let's set these buildings on fire. How do I look? You look really cool up there. Hopefully he'll land on this side of the planet.
Right.
If he lands on the other side of the village, you're going to look so stupid. So my next note is, and this is actually more of a question for you. A couple episodes ago in Bounty, you were talking about how you felt that Ventress was reforming too quickly. Are you still feeling that way?
Yeah, kind of, except they slowed down on it, so she's maybe catching up to where she should be. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, like I was saying, they're making her look a little prettier now.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe there can be a little more validity to their flirting now and stuff like that, but... Yeah, it's only been a few, you know, I would have taken the whole, like, a whole course of a season to get her to where, you know, she's teaming up with Obi-Wan, you know.
There's still, and which you actually called, by the way. I remember you saying in the Bounty Hunters, I was like, you know, before you know it, she's going to be teaming up with Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yep.
And you called it. Because, like, there are still dead Night Sisters laying on the ground on Dathomir.
Well, if you're going to reform her character and you're a writer for Clone Wars, that's what, I mean, you got to have her at least hook up with, you know, team up with Obi-Wan, because they've got that little flirty talk between the two of them.
Yeah. One thing I was wondering is, I was wondering if Ventress knows who Maul is. Because we know that Palpatine kept Maul a secret for so long, and we know that from the Darth Maul comics, because in the Darth Maul comics, it's pre-episode one, and Maul's just like, oh my god, I just want to go kill a Jedi, and Palpatine's like, shut up, you can't kill a Jedi yet. People can't know that you're here. And so, and also, like, the Night Sisters seem to kind of, like, look down on their brothers, so... And in that case, I can see, like, no one from the Night Sister clan, like, really cares who Darth Maul is. So I don't actually think Ventress knows who Maul is. And
I don't think she knows who he is, but she probably can just sort of put two and two together what he generally is, you know?
Yeah, because Maul was the same way, because, like, he had no clue that Ventress was Dooku's apprentice or any of that, too. Like, he had no clue who she was.
No, but he can spot a Night Sister, and she can spot one of the, you know, they can spot the sister brothers, can spot each other, so...
Yeah. I have to just say, I really like the fight scene at the end. With them being in such close quarters, it's just high action with not a lot of movement. And it's just so fast-paced. And it's just, I do love that fight. So that's one of my favorite fights of Clone Wars, just because, well, Ventress and Obi-Wan get their asses handed to them. But it's just still a really cool fight, because they're constantly just passing back and forth lightsabers and jumping and thing, like, walls of burning as their lightsabers strike stuff, and like, that little scene where Obi-Wan and Maul is, like, up on the balcony, and Maul's, like, taunting him, and Obi-Wan goes into rage mode. I have to say, though, I like that when Obi-Wan gets angry, Maul still bests him, because Obi-Wan doesn't know how
He's
to handle anger.
He's not as good at being angry. Yeah. Although, I think Ventress and Obi-Wan should have easily beat these two. Just in general, because also, well, Obi-Wan had also gotten his ass kicked and was softened up a little bit, but Maul should be pretty soft, too. He's still recovering from lots of trauma. And Savage, yeah, he's kind of a flunky as far as in that, you know, he's been fairly deadly before, but I would have thought they would have beaten him quite easily, or at least not have been chased off so easily.
You know, I have to say, though, like, we know that Savage has beaten Ventress once, because when the two of them went after Dooku, he ended up going after Ventress in that, and he bested her and ran. And so, I think ever, you know, like, when he was still tiny and scrawny and up in the Knight's brother's village, she kicked his ass. But, like, ever since he became, like, Mr. Frankenstein monster, like, she can't fight him anymore. Like, he's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
So, but I'll skip down to one of my, that's different. No. So, I do feel like there's one scene missing from this episode, and that is a Ventress Obi-Wan scene at the end. I would have loved to see the conversation when she and Obi-Wan lands on it. Like, does he tell her to come with him? Does he thank her for saving him? Does she choose to leave him behind? Does she, like, smack him on the face and run? Like, what happens there?
I don't know. Is she wanted for anything? If she's not, then I guess Obi-Wan doesn't really have too much of a gripe with her other than them trying to kill each other in the past, but they were on opposite sides, so...
Yeah, and, like, the only reason I bring this up is because in Dark Disciple, which is the canon book with Ventress and Quinlan Voss, at the beginning of it, Obi-Wan is like, oh, we can't trust that Ventress. She is a sneaky one. Quinlan, you gotta be careful around her. She'll fuck you up. But at the end of this, like, they saved each other's lives, and, like, he got her out of the ship, and they left together. And I'm just like, there's some sort of disconnect here that happened.
Well, that's sort of Obi-Wan is Mr. Give him the benefit of the doubt, you know?
Yeah.
And but, he would be like, he's probably thinking, you know, if Ventress sees the errors of her ways, she could be a, you know, powerful ally.
At least, I still, I still wanted a scene there, like, for that very point where they land and Obi-Wan's like, we made a really good team, you know, like, maybe you can come help us. And she's just like, nope, bye. And, like, I would have been happy with that. And I needed that kind of, like, scene where they land and, like, what happens there. Like, do they both, like, look at all the dead bodies on the village and they're just like, well, that was crazy. Let's go get a beer. Like, what happens there?
I would almost picture they would land and then he'd be like, all right, well, let's figure it. And she'd be gone, you know, before they even, you know, she'd be off looking for a ship to go off on her own, you know, and go bounty hunting again.
Yeah. More than likely, Obi-Wan probably, like, called the council, and they sent a cruiser, and they showed up and buried all the people and, like, got debriefed while she was gone the entire time. But I still just needed something there, right there, because it just, they're just flying right away, and he's just like, this is just the beginning. They're going to be coming after us. I know. The end. So, yeah. So, Maul and Obi-Wan haven't seen each other since episode one. And the last couple episodes have been building up to this ever since, like, you know, we knew that Savage was looking for his brother and then Maul came back. Was this a satisfying Obi-Wan and Maul meetup after all these years?
Mostly, I think. I'm glad they met up with Maul having two legs. This is kind of stupid, but rather than being Spider-Maul, I'm glad they dispensed with Spider-Maul. But, I think it would have been a lot more dramatic if it was just Obi-Wan and just Maul, you know. But I think they might want to save that till some, you know, till they were gonna either off Maul or whatever, but or however they were thinking of doing it at that time. It seems like it would have been more satisfying for the audience and Darth Maul for it to just be one on one, you know.
Yeah.
But as far as an episode goes, it's a good story element to get Ventress and Obi-Wan working together.
Yeah, because when Maul nodded to Savage and Savage left the room to start the ship, I forgot that Savage came back. And I was expecting it to be Maul and Obi-Wan by themselves.
Right.
And then Savage came back and then Ventress was there. And so, like, on one hand, I really do like having Ventress and Obi-Wan together. I think they're a great team. I've said it before on the show, I love when they're together, and I love their banter, and they're one of my, like, my favorite pairs of, like, when they're working together and stuff like that. I kind of agree with you. Like, I feel like they probably shouldn't have... I guess after watching all season of Obi-Wan getting the crap beaten out of him, but every time he was just like, ha-ha, I was okay the entire time! Ha-ha!
Yeah, I don't think he was okay this time.
Yeah, and that was the thing, like, you know, we've had this entire season of him just being like, I was okay, and I was always, the ball was always in my court. Well, the ball was never in his court this time, and I don't know, like, so on one hand, like, I like the episode, I like the elements of the episode and stuff like that, I don't feel fully satisfied. I kind of thought
as soon as Maul came back that Savage would not last this long. I thought they'd get rid of Savage pretty quick, because he's just sort of a lesser copy of Maul, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why have redundancy, you know, you could have him get killed or whatever, but I'm surprised they've kept him alive at the end of the season.
I'm also glad that it's not resolved in this episode, too.
Well, yeah, it's an ongoing TV show.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, Maul came back last week and he's dead this week.
No, you might as well use Darth Maul as much as you can until you have to, you know, make him go away before episode 3 or whatever, but he's gonna have to go away somehow, you know, story-wise, but...
Yeah. Though I will say, like, with the ending, I do like that it's an open ending for future seasons because of the fact that it's not resolved. You know, like, it's one of those things of, like, oh my god, what's gonna happen next season? Like, this is crazy. Like, Darth Maul was back and now he's running rampant through the galaxy and, like, even Dooku is like, this is scary, guys. And so I do like that it's an open ending to season 4. You know, it's not like, you know, past seasons, like, in a sense of Ryloth, you know, Ryloth
got... Yeah, where it polishes something completely off.
Yeah, Boba Fett got polished off. What was the end of season 3? I don't remember, but it's a complete ending. This is, like, not a complete ending. Like, this is an open ending, and I think it's one of the first ones of it. What was the end of season 3?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I'm gonna look it up right fast. The end of season 3 was Wookiee Hunt. It was the episodes that Ahsoka got kidnapped. And so, I think this is their first, like, completely open ending. And I like that. I like that they did that because it shows that, you know, plans go on for, are going to be continuing on opposed to, like, Ahsoka got captured and now she's back.
Right, right.
So, my last note is, and I always ask this at the end of all seasons, is this a good season finale?
It's pretty good, I thought.
Even though it wasn't a two-parter because last week's episode came in the week before this one aired, the two episodes are definitely kind of like a finale. So I like to count them both together. Last week, not so much. This week, definitely. Why do you think it's a good finale?
It was okay. It was fairly sad. It succeeded in getting Darth Maul back and two-legged, and it sort of completed part of Ventress's arc to where, you know, she could go either way, and I thought they could have done it better, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I feel like it's really good. I like Ventress's little line of when Obi-Wan was like, oh, you're a good guy now, and she was just like, oh, don't say
whatever
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of feel it's a good, I don't think it's their best finale, but it's definitely a good one. So yeah,
it's satisfying.
Yeah, for the most part. I'm still not 100% satisfied with the Obi-Wan Maul meeting up after all these years, but it's still really, really good.
I think they would have been, if they would have totally resolved Obi-Wan and Maul, they would have been cutting it short, you know?
Yeah.
I just didn't think they were going to do that already. Well, I know they weren't going to do that already because I'm watching Rebels, but, you know.
Yeah. But that's all I have for this episode. So you want to score it up?
Yeah, I'm giving it an 8.5. I thought it was really good. It was a strong ender, but you know, not up into the nines zone. You know, there've been better ones. I think I liked Wookiee Hunt a lot better.
Yeah, you're always one for like Chewbacca throwing lizard people off ships.
Hell yeah. What about you? Even though I'm looking right at your score right now.
Sorry, I thought you were going to keep talking.
Nope.
I really like the episode. I still feel like it's missing a scene at the end there with Ventress and Obi-Wan. But at the end of the day, this is the Maul Obi-Wan story. I don't feel like it's quite as satisfying after years of waiting for these two to be together, but it's still a really good episode. I love the fight, absolutely fight. I wish... I'm starting to like kind of jump on the Mother of Talzin is magical destiny bullshit train. Which is my phrase I use when things just sort of like, why does this make sense? Magic. But why magic? No magic. Magic is the answer. I call that magical destiny bullshit. And so I kind of feel that way about Talzin. It started to happen. She's kind of magical destiny bullshit. But I do love the fight, and I'm just so happy to see Ventress and Obi-Wan together. I love them together. And I like that it's an open ending. This is our first finale that ends with an open ending, because now we can literally go anywhere with Maul from here, and that's really exciting, because I wasn't watching the show when this was airing, but I can't even imagine being like, oh!
You can go anywhere with Maul or Ventress now.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, waiting for an entire summer to find out what happens with Maul running rampant through the universe. So that's really exciting. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. I was just a little below you.
That's sort of been the trend lately.
Yeah, except for Umbara, where I was like rampantly above you.
Yes.
Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or at the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review our show, it helps people find the show. So if you like us, if you don't like us, give us a rating and a review on iTunes, because we would love to read it. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Friends and Enemies. Take it away, Chris.
All right, this one comes from Paul C. Kelly. He says, this episode had Obi-Wan captured hanging upside down. His escape from the huts was very similar to Luke's escape from the Wampa Cave. Yeah, it was. I don't even think we noted that, but it certainly was.
Yeah.
I kind of think Mace Windu should have been more skeptical of Palpatine. Yeah, it would be in his character, too. Especially when he was using that tone of voice about going over their heads and sending Anakin out. Yeah, definitely. But then again, things get heated like that in politics, too, so I could see it sort of slipping by. The Bane-Hardeen rivalry was fun to watch. I wonder if Bane goes drinking with Thrawn at the House of Blues.
Then
he has Oob, which I'm not really sure what Oob means, but I mean,
I don't know what that is.
I think that's the noise you make after you've made a bad pun.
Yeah, though.
And they
when they're
at the House of Blues, they're probably singing "Am I Blue?" Anyway, and it's probably the Blue Man Group singing it too, although they don't sing nothing.
Christmas without you. Oh, I miss Bane already.
Okay, I was actually curious if Bane was Chiss, but he is Duros according to the web. Wonder how those two would do together. Bane might not be too into Thrawn's strategic maneuvering, I am thinking.
I don't know. We saw in Rebels that he has his own little assassin bounty hunter.
I don't think Bane would cotton to Thrawn that much, because Thrawn is not very successful. Thrawn's almost never successful, it seems like.
I don't know. I think if Thrawn paid enough, Bane would be like, sure, I would totally help you.
Oh, he would help him, but I don't think he would be like, hey, you know what you're doing.
And I think Thrawn would be way more successful because we know Bane gets shit done.
Right.
If Bane went after Jedi and Ezra, Rebels would have ended in, like, season 3. It would have been like, I brought you Jedi heads. Thanks, man. We won. No, I won. Pay up. Oh, man, we didn't choose our candy again.
Nope.
I have 3 things left.
Yep.
And they're all kind of big, so. You want to do...
Well, we've got, let's see.
You want to do the...
We've got, well, Mr. Big is like the second biggest.
Then Geneva and chocolate's definitely
the biggest. And then we've got the...
Ooh, how about this? Because this is episode 79, or 97. We can do Mr. Crunchy for the smallest of them. We'll do Mr. Big for the season 3 recap. And then we'll save the big one for the commentary.
All right, for
Force Awakens. Because then we can eat it throughout the commentary.
The one you're calling Mr. Crunchy, is that La Casa?
It's purple and it says Crunchy.
Oh, I don't know.
Cadbury.
Oh, I don't know if I have that.
Says go and eat golden honeycomb wrapped in Cadbury chocolate.
I may not have that one.
And then Mr. Big is Cadbury as well.
Do you have the La Casa?
I don't have dark chocolate and orange. No.
So that might be our variation. You might have the. How about you do Mr. Crunchy and I'll do La Casa.
Okay.
Kapow. All right. Now we can open our candy.
Okay.
It's like Christmas.
My Crunchy is from England, and your La Casa is from Portugal and has a bit of orange in it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you're wondering why we're eating candy, Chris is a big whiny baby, and he doesn't like American Kit Kat. So our friend Dario is a flight attendant who flies all over the world, and he picks up candy for us to review here on the show.
Mine's good. Mine's just simple dark chocolate with orange zest in it.
I'm trying to open mine. Ooh, my Mr. Crunchy smells good.
And it's got that orange zest, orange peel flavor. But it's got a little bit of a tang to it. It's good.
Mine is certainly crunchy. The inside...
I hope so.
I can't tell what this is. It's not a cookie. But you know when you eat those cereals and then... Actually, no. You know when you eat a Butterfinger and like the crispy bits stick to your teeth?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, only the entire inside is that, the stuff that sticks to your teeth.
Oh.
And it's really good, because it's not too sweet, but man, it is sticking to my teeth.
Yeah, it's time to get the dental floss after this. This has, now that I'm eating it further, it's got little cubes of orange in it that are chewy, that are really good.
That sounds really good. Mm.
And they are, they're like perfect little chopped up cubes of orange, like candied orange.
Mmm. Oh, man. This is really good, Dario. I like this Mr. Crunchy. Mmm. Let's see. Golden honeycomb wrapped in Cadbury chocolate. Oh, I was about to make a joke, but then I realized it's the Canterbury Tales, not the Cadbury Tales. So never mind. I'll say it tastes
like
stories.
The Cadbury Tales are the story of Richie Rich's butler.
That was a good old reference there, Chris. It was really good.
I thought it might be too old for you. Actually, I'm thought Richie Rich was a little bit before your time.
I'm familiar with some old stuff. I'm not entirely young.
Richie Rich was almost before my time.
Well, we have a ton of Richie Rich comics in our store, so. Well, as always, thank you, Dario. We love you. All right. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks being myself and Scott Gardner. Well, we have recently revived out of his cryogenic chamber, and he and I are podcasting regularly again. As we were recording this, I just put out yesterday, or, you know, today, yesterday at midnight, our latest Star Trek Monthly Monday, our first Star Trek Monthly Monday in 2 years. So, yeah, we're going to be regularly putting out podcasts again, so you should have a couple, three or four by now, hanging out there. And, of course, we have a million zillion other podcasts by a million zillion other fine podcasters. We have a Facebook page, Two True Freaks at Facebook, and there's the Two True Freaks Cantina. And then it's in actually, like, a couple days ago, Gene Gene the Podcasting Machine, who runs our Twitter feed.
Gene?
That was like the remix there. Or the CD was skipping or something. But he was just on, I think it was a Two True Freaks Cantina, and we compiled a full list of all the ancillary Facebook pages from all the Two True Freaks podcasters. So you probably see that if you hop over the cantina, you probably just scroll down a little and see that and see all the other Facebook pages we have. But that's about it for the Two True Freaks web presence, at least. Yeah. What about the Hope Mullinex web presence? I hate those terms. Let's talk about your web presence, Hope.
It's December. It's December. We're going to get all kinds of presents. You're going to get a present. I ordered your gift the other day, and I'm waiting for it to come in so I can mail it to you.
I'm very excited. It's something I asked for, too, that I don't even remember asking for.
No, you didn't ask for it. You just said you wanted it.
Mmm.
And you wanted it for a while now.
That's as good as asking with me.
I've been, like, looking for it for, like, 6 months for you because I adore you.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, you can find me at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter account, and you can also find me at Hope Mullinex on Twitter. I'm also the news writer for What the Fangirl, except for this month, because there is 3 days left in NaNoWriMo, and I'm so close to winning. I'm like 3,500 words away, and this has also been a really crazy fucking month for me, so I haven't been able to write much this month. So, I will be getting back to... I know I said a couple months ago that I was going to do this thing leading up to Christmas with, like, promoting artist stuff. Didn't work out because doing curator stuff like that is actually not allowed in my state. We don't have a bill that passes it and allow it. So it kind of fell through on me because I live here. And so It didn't work out in the end as much as I wanted it to. But, yeah, I will be returning back to What the Fangirl. And... as sad as I am, as I was saying at the top of the show, that other side of the mirror, my favorite Once Upon a Time podcast is ending. Those are also my editors from With the Fangirl. So they will be able to return to having more media content for them. I know they were talking about doing like podcasts for other shows. They're big Xena Warrior Princess fans. So I wouldn't be surprised if I saw a Xena podcast pop up at some point.
That could be pretty crazy.
Yeah, so it's mostly Alex. Alex is a huge Xena fan. Brie, I'm not sure they're sure about.
I know about Xena fan. I used to watch Xena. I used to go over to my drummer friend's house every week to watch Xena Warrior Princess because she would gather with a bunch of ladies, and it was more to just watch them watch it because they were all huge fans. And they were all lesbians, and they were all, you know, I mean, this was in the days before the word ship came out or anything like that, but they were like, They were there watching for all the clues as to what Xena and Gabrielle were up to, and every time a clue was dropped, let me tell you, it was like a touchdown in a football game. It was just like, yes, yes, did you see that? She had that fish right in her mouth. That's a real episode. My favorite moment of that. It was the opening scene of Xena, and you see they're in like a stream or a pond or something, you know, up to their waists. Mm-hmm. You can't really tell because there's bushes in front of them, so you just see like their upper torsos and Gabrielle keeps thrusting her head down, and Xena's like, "No, no, you got to stay down there longer. Get right down in it and hold your breath." Grabs her, puts her head hand on top of her head and shoves it down, and then you hear like, and then she comes up and she's got a fish in her mouth. And they're just like,
I have never seen Xena, so I wouldn't know.
It's a lot of fun. It's a great show.
Yeah. Maybe I'll add it to my list after I finish Game of Thrones and Rick and Morty.
far superior. It had a lot of the same characters and producers and stuff as the Hercules show. I think it was a spinoff of Hercules, actually, but it's much better than Hercules.
Yeah.
Hercules!
But that's all I have. Oh, we're doing our season recap next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun.
We got a season recap next week, and then what's the next one? Is that Force Awakens?
Force Awakens, and then it should be the 100th episode, and then Rogue One, and then we'll be starting in season 5.
In season 5.
So I can't wait to watch Rogue One! Ah! I can't wait to watch Rogue One! Ah!
I'm looking forward more to the Force Awakens. I have a lot more to say about that movie than the last time I ever did a podcast about it. My opinions have changed a little and evolved a little and tweaked a little here and there, so it's gonna be a interesting viewing.
It's gonna be also by the time that comes out, it's gonna be after Last Jedi comes out, so it'll be like our thoughts before Last Jedi.
Well, but I think by the time we were, I think we're gonna record it just before we see Last Jedi.
So
anything that happens in Last Jedi that changes anything in Force Awakens, we're not going to know about. So you're going to hear us just before. By the time people are listening to us, they'll be like, oh, they're wrong about that. they are wrong about Snoke or whatever it is, you know.
Oh, man.
We might be dead right.
Oh, man. I got to do a Rexvolution next week.
Get on that.
It'll be a lot of fun, though. There's a lot of Rex this season, except for in the last half of it. Because I pretty much have Umbara and Kadavo. That's about it. But I will do it.
You'll do it. You've done it before. Come on, you're an old hand at it now.
I know, where I just make up shit for the rest of the time. And
they like it. They like it.
I know, but I always like hate it until I hear differently. You're always critical on yourself, Chris. You're the most critical of yourself.
Am I?
I am.
I know, I'm pretty damn pleased with myself.
Well, you were right this time.
I was.
Well, end it on that. Chris was right.
That's how it should always end. Ba-da! If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.